And right here on Cat in the Morning, we're having a serious discussion with a serious chap who has never watched a movie. Let me tell you, I thrive in doing interviews and learning people. That's my thing. And every single time I'm amazed with the people that I meet. But today's guest, absolutely amazing. And when he was named acting CEO of the Kenya Medical Supplies Authority in May 2013, part of his family and friends were not amused at all. His mother berated him, asking why he was caught in trouble. His explanation that he never applied for the job did not appease her. Now, KEMSA has lost billions of public funds through overpriced COVID-19 supplies. It had also bulged on 3.7 billion mosquito nets tender funded by the Global Fund. That was then. Dr. Mulwa, at 41 years old, back then, a medic and official at Afya House, took over. Almost a year on, he's right here in studio with us on your best mix of music. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Makbul. Good morning, listeners.
Fantastic. Nice to have you. I think one of the first questions as we are discussing off air is we are coming up to an anniversary, so to speak, close to a year. 11 months, you did mention. Maybe you can tell us more about the turnaround that has been and the strategy that you've undertaken at Kenya Medical Supplies Authority to support access to essential health products and technologies.
Thank you very much for having me here. First, I would like to say that KEMSA is such a critical organization in the delivery of health systems in the country. Mm-hmm. And especially now when the government is rolling out universal health coverage, a functional KEMSA is very, very important because it guarantees the citizens of this republic that they will have the medical commodities, drugs and other consumables when they want them, in the quantities that they want them, at the time that they want them, and where they want them, in the right price and quality. Mm-hmm. And we can never think about achieving universal health coverage if that system is not working. Mm-hmm. Last year, when I was appointed, I got hint that I would be appointed as acting CEO for KEMSA. Mm-hmm. To be honest, the first thing was, this is too much.
Indeed.
And I attempted to use fillers to say, can we get someone else? Because all of us, because KEMSA as an organization had been marred by a lot of reputational challenges and, like you rightly said, issues of mega corruption,
indeed,
mega loss of public funds. And 1 year later, when I went to KEMSA, there were several issues that were not working well. Mm-hmm. One is the management of the human resources within the organization. Mm-hmm. It was called working from home, where we had staff working from home. And when a driver is working from home, he's not working, it's actually really not working.
Exactly.
Being paid for not working.
Totally.
That should be the right term.
Indeed.
Then there were all issues of procurements, which is what the COVID-19 and even the mosquito net issues.
Indeed.
Were
that
out.
Whole saga.
That then the old issue of suppliers, because, you know, we had, and remember, we had a supplier conference. Mm-hmm. Immediately after I came in, because suppliers were not happy, they were not being paid, processes were just slow. So there were system issues, that's what I'm saying. The 1 year that we have, almost 1 year, because it's been 11 months. Mm-hmm. I expect an anniversary in a month's time. Mm-hmm. And looking back, we have really been able to stabilize. And one thing that we did is to develop a strategy that would guide us for the year that we have been there.
Actually, as we're getting into that strategy, you implemented a major digitization transformation program recently. Maybe you can tell us about it, the new ERP, and how it helps to strengthen procurement.
Yeah, just as like I was just describing, the issue of the old turnaround.
Indeed.
The old turnaround was inch around the people, the processes, mm-hmm. and the systems. So we're talking about the human capital, which I've already discussed.
Indeed.
Then the processes, where we need, one, the policies to guide, so that there are standard operating procedures,
mm-hmm.
so that you can create operational efficiency within the organization by having standard operating procedures
mm-hmm.
for all the process, whether distribution, whether warehousing, ensuring their cycle counts, ensuring so that the organization is able to. Then the other thing that we now worked on is now to digitize the process. KEMSA has had an ERP from, I think, 2011,
mm-hmm.
which had many systems that were not speaking to each other, did not have dashboards. But now, what we are doing is we acquired an ERP and for their whole enterprise. We are actually implementing, we are rolling out.
Mm-hmm.
This will digitize all the processes within the organization, be it procurement, and that therefore removes human interface. And mm-hmm. therefore, this procurement, which is has been the major thorn in the flesh, once it is digitized, you will be able to, bidders or suppliers submit their bids, submit them digitally.
Mm.
This information is available. There is no manipulation that can happen. Anyone can be able to track and see which process was undertaken by who, what time, and what was the outcome. And can this be verified and viewed? That will, by and large, eliminate the issues that you have had about the corruption and manipulation of tenders within the organization. I think we are rolling out this by end of this month. Of course, we will have rolled out the e-procurement module, and by the end of July, we will have rolled out 100% moved into the new ERP for all the process, be it human resource management, be it warehouse management, be it logistics management, be it distribution. All the systems would be on this ERP.
I think actually let's focus on that, and you did mention it just slightly earlier on. Human resource is a concern and a major impediment in undertaking culture change anywhere, actually, in any organization. What is the current status as we talk right now?
Wow. Like I first described, you would imagine the disharmony and suspicion and the frustration that come with human capital that is undergoing all what the team in KEMSA had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about in 2021, everyone was sent home. And their jobs were actually advertised in the newspapers. And they went, everyone got a letter of redundancy. And their jobs are advertised and they were sent home and, you know, they went to court. And you can imagine the toxic environment that you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
that people are trying to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
So we have tried to address that. And I mentioned that the first decision that we made when we got into KEMSA, myself and the board, was to say we have to clean up this human resource issue.
Mm-hmm.
We called in everyone and we asked anyone who was working from home to come back, and we also released the team that had come as caretaker, and we got the rightful KEMSA employees back to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's been difficult reintegrating this team back to, and one of the things that we are doing is developing teamwork,
mm-hmm.
and making the team believe that we believe in them, every confidence, and we have standards that we have set that we have put everyone on performance management, so that it is about your performance, about what you do, I want to call patronage, it's not about patronage, not about who you know, it's about what you do. So putting people on performance management. We also had a bloated establishment.
Mm-hmm.
KEMSA's approved establishment, which was approved in 2014, is up 341 staff.
Mm.
As of June 2022, KEMSA had 962 staff,
wow.
which is almost three times the approved establishment. When we came in, because some contracts had ended during when staff were home, we had 770 staff or thereabout. This was still way above what we thought was the optimum.
Indeed.
We have been working on that staff establishment and human resource instruments, and we had to rationalize because we thought the optimal number would be anything between 500 and 600. So we ran down 200 contracts from the 770 that we have,
mm-hmm.
To about now 562 staff that we have. Beyond that, now we are working as an organization on the human resource instruments. looking at the staff establishment. We are working on career progression.
Mm.
We are human resource manual, so that we, by the end of May, beginning of June, we should have an establishment that that one looks at the organization in the current space. With the current space, I mean, as we endeavor to deliver universal healthcare and the role that KEMSA will deliver, mm-hmm. with a change in the health legal architecture,
mm-hmm.
the social health insurance, the FIF of Facility Improvement Fund bills that were passed, the digitization, digital health law that was passed, and the primary healthcare laws that were passed by Parliament last. It means KEMSA has to restructure its business model. Currently, we work more with the counties, which are 47 entities for the public health facility.
Indeed.
With the user fees and facility improvement fund, it will mean customers will change from counties to individual facilities.
Right.
Meaning, while our clients have been consolidating the orders for, let's say, a county like Nairobi, then we will be supplying Pumwani as an entity, we will be supplying facility. And that therefore means our customer base will increase significantly, because we will now have customer, individual hospital or dispensary accounts, because they will have their own money. And that means we have to structure our business in such a way that, so we are looking at that, and we hope by the end of next month, we will have as an approved human instrument that will be able to deliver health in the current.
And these are people on ground.
Yeah.
And how do you tackle the issue of representation, so to speak? Because that has been in the news circulating for the past couple of months, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
An organization as big as 500 people, there needs to be a sense of a balance and representation. How is that being addressed?
I think KEMSA operates under the Kenyan law, the constitution is particularly, it talks about representation and inclusivity. So we ensure that one, in terms of representing the face of Kenya,
mm-hmm.
that as we do employments, we publicize as much as possible that applications come across the country. As we shortlist, mm-hmm. we look at communities that are marginalized, communities that are not represented. And currently, it's a bit disappointing that we, out of the 46 tribes in the country, we only have 16 tribes represented by the employees in KEMSA. So it is upon us now as an organization, as we try to get more people in the organization with natural attrition, with new opportunities that arise,
mm-hmm.
that we do affirmative action.
Indeed.
To ensure that we have persons from these other communities that have not the persons who live with disability. The legal requirement is to have 5%, at minimum of 5%. Currently we are 2.1%. Of course, the nature of our business may not be very conducive for persons living with disability, but that's not an excuse.
Absolutely.
As an organization, we must work to ensure that we meet that minimum threshold and even move more, be more. So it is now in subsequent recruitment, in subsequent engagements, we have to deliberately ensure that we work towards making the organization have the representation of the face of Kenya, representing people living with disability, and representing communities that are otherwise marginalized.
We come back in a short while. That is the voice of none other than the CEO of Kenya Medical Supplies Authority, Dr. Andrew Mulwa, with us. Questions, queries, you can get us on 984 in the morning. That's hashtag drive in for any of your queries. This is Capital in the Morning. My name is Mapu, and we are with CEO Kenya Medical Supplies Authority, Dr. Andrew Mulwa, with us. Questions, queries, you can reach us on 984 in the morning. That's on X. And of course, hashtag driving as we go through this particular conversation. And on the area of governance, I understand you're considering adapting e-board management system. How will this streamline board operations?
Thank you very much. And I think we talked about digitization. We are digitizing all the aspects of running the organization.
Yeah.
First, I want to appreciate the KEMSA Board of Management, led by the Chair, Honorable Irungu Nyakera. I think I pride myself of having maybe the best board in the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
Very knowledgeable, carefully selected, people with vast experience in governance, And that stewardship in running the organization has been amazing. So we are adopting eBoard. We have adopted eBoard. Indeed. So that one, we increase the efficiency of running their board engagements, mm-hmm. be it meetings, be it policies that the board need to review, mm-hmm. SOPs that board need to review. So we don't have to have papers sent to papers or documents sent to sometimes before this we would have folders and they are distributed to board members taken to their own houses. So now this information is available on their tablets and they are able to review documents, send. So this will increase operational efficiency in terms of running board matters, whether meetings, whether reviewing policies, reviewing strategies, and that is exactly what the eBoard is already doing.
Exactly. Now, I'll take you back a bit, and earlier on you did talk about the fact that implementation is going on to have, of course, the dispensaries, the hospitals as clients, but right now we're still dealing in talks of counties being major clients, so to speak. And we have to address the elephant in the room. Most of them have not been paid and there are complaints going on about that. How are we tackling that?
The 2010 constitution established two levels of government. And KEMSA, as established by the KEMSA Act of 2013, is an organization that was established as a midwife between the national and the county governments in terms of health commodity security, and with the task of procuring, warehousing and distributing. KEMSA's focus is on two areas. There are program items. There are program items or products that we don't sell to counties. Products for HIV, TB, malaria, blood products, we don't sell them to counties. We buy on behalf of the ministry and other programs, warehouse and distribute to counties on demand, family planning, all these items.
Indeed.
Then there is what we call the KEMSA capital investment, where there are consumables, drugs and other consumables that the hospitals and health facilities require, but they have to buy from KEMSA.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the program items. We have not had issues. Order fee rates are always above 95%. Counties will have these products on their shelves as long as they make orders and they do the right quantifications and forecasting in terms of what they want. So they do demand forecasting so that if you want 100 tablets of 100 doses of, let's say, anti-malaria,
mm-hmm.
and you get maybe 95 cases of, so the clients will come and find drugs.
Mm-hmm.
If you, like, for example, order 100 and your clients are 1,000, you see, you will have stockouts. Even when KEMSA may have the products in the shelves, there will be stockouts of those products in our program. But 99% of the times, you will find these products in the county shelves, because we work very, very closely with the counties. Then there is other now, the one that we, the product that we sell to counties. And indeed, because of the structure of the constitution, we have to sell counties, the money has to flow from the national treasury to the counties, then the counties pay KEMSA.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there is a delay in the release of exchequer to the counties, there will obviously be a delay in payment to KEMSA.
Indeed.
And in some circumstances, the counties find themselves caught up in terms of cash flow issues. There are other priorities, they have salaries to pay, mm-hmm. they have other priorities, and therefore we find county debts go beyond the 90 days period that we expect accounts to fall due.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, we have about six counties that we would say they are on the red.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, the rest, we have 40 or so counties that operate fairly well. They are able to pay between 90 and 180 days, which is, of course, beyond their accounts overdue, but they are able to pay. We have six counties that have account for 30% of the county debts that we owe. and these are the counties that we are engaging, mm-hmm. and we are in constant engagement with the counties, with the leadership of the county, the CECs for health, mm-hmm. the CEC for finance, the chief officers, and the governors to ensure that we get payment. So as we continue, because it's a cycle, because once a county pays, because we may have a problem, for example, with Nairobi County today.
Yeah.
Nairobi County may pay next week. The moment they pay, they'll place another order. So they are out of the problem county, but another county that had bought 3 months earlier,
yeah.
let's say, for example, Kakamega, they have not paid, so they become the problem county. So it's a cyclical thing,
mm-hmm.
but the bottom line is whatever happens in one county affects the other. Because one of our major problems that we had and we are trying to resolve is our ability to fill the orders that counties fill. So if we do not have the money from Nairobi and Kilifi is paying well, when Kilifi makes an order, we will not have all the products that they require because Nairobi has not paid.
Mm.
And that therefore means our suppliers have not supplied, cannot supply what they require. Mm. And therefore, Kilifi will get a low order fill rate as a result of Nairobi not paying. The bottom line is we have to have wider discussion. This we have been discussing with the Council of Governors and the CECs and the leadership of the Ministry of Health,
yeah.
and Treasury, to see if we could have a mechanism that guarantees, because these are public funds, this money is coming from Treasury, mm-hmm. and is going to the county, we can have a mechanism that we can have guarantee for our pay, so that once we make deliveries to counties,
mm-hmm.
we can have our accounts credited so that we continue buying product for the next county.
Mm-hmm.
So these are discussions that we are having. It's a high-level discussion, and we hope by the end of it, we will have a framework that will guarantee that we resolve that issue of county debts.
And I think this leads me to the question that has come in from a listener who is asking, if I can get your name right here, Nentek, who says, please ask the CEO why is the government hospital sending us to purchase medicine from outside their premises?
Makuburu, I worked in a county as a CEC,
yes.
for pretty 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, and I still believe was, and Makueni County was one of the best run counties,
mm-hmm.
because we used to tackle some of those issues. There are multiple factors that would make health workers or a practitioner send clients to buy drugs or products from outside a public health facility. And one of them is when there are stockouts, which is a major reason that you find that the facility. And if there is a stockout in a facility, it means it's a planning, budgeting issue, because as KEMSA, we don't just deliver.
Mm-hmm.
We deliver what we are asked to deliver. So that means if the forecasting is right, the quantification is right, just like I mentioned about the malaria, which has given an example,
yeah.
then you can have the product on the shelves. Then the other issue is, do they have the budget to ensure that the products that they require are there? So the issue, the major issue is stockouts. But we must also, and this, when I was working in the county, we used to tackle head on, realize that there are, I don't want to call them cartels, mm-hmm. but there are systems that work within the public health sector,
mm-hmm.
that thrive on a dysfunctional public health system. And therefore, there are people who have conflict of interest. Maybe I want to send you to my clinic, I want to send you to my laboratory, I want to send. So we will tell you, go and buy from there.
Exactly.
Even when the products are in the shelves, mm-hmm. in the public health facility. And that becomes an assignment of the county governments or the management of health facilities to ensure that we deal with this. Some of the things that one can do is to ensure that we digitize the health system, the hospital management system,
mm-hmm.
so that prescriptions, requests for laboratory are done on a system. So that therefore, if a client is seen through the system and they have been sent to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy has stocks for this product, then they are unlikely to be sent outside.
Exactly.
Because you can see this client was sent for these drugs, and these drugs are in the shelf.
Exactly.
And therefore, so one of the things is use of technology. And like when I was in Makueni, we used technology to address some of those things, and some of those issues went out. And the other thing is to handle those misadventures where now people are doing their private business within the public sector. And once you get and this is a county function, once you get people who are unscrupulous, then you deal with them firmly and decisively, and that will of course reduce. So there are multiple factors I say that can get, but in the UHC space there is some good news here. With the new UHC and social health insurance, whether you buy from the facility, you get from the facility and from outside, it will mean nothing, because the cover that social health insurance will have will cover the product. So it will not matter where you get it. So whoever has been benefiting from this will no longer be able to manipulate the system to serve them.
That is none other than Dr. Andrew Molua, CEO, Kenya Medical Supplies Authority, with us. Questions, please. 984 in the morning, hashtag drive in. And you can catch it right here on your best mix of music, 98.4, Capital FM, Capital in the morning. We've got about 6 minutes to go to the top of the hour. In the next hour, you take control and let us know your requests, as we are still with CEO, Kenya Medical Supplies Authority, Dr. Andrew Molua, with us. And KEMSA received the Best Quality Leadership Award from the European Society of Quality Research. What does this mean?
I think, and I can add, this is in addition to the Africa Governance Award, which we received earlier on in February. I think what that means is, one, we work in an ecosystem that is people have a lot of interest in, research organization, consumer groups, patient interest groups, and civil society. And we are honored and glad that the work that we have put in the last 1 year is getting recognition beyond the borders of this country. I think what I would say is, one, it's one in terms of our reputational image. It's helping in terms of looking at the KEMSA that people know. In fact, I keep saying, for like 3-4 months when I was appointed the acting CEO in KEMSA, I would go to forums, to barrios, to weddings, and every time I introduce myself, my name is Dr. Andrew Molua, acting CEO of KEMSA, people would laugh.
Yeah.
I think because KEMSA was equal to scandals, KEMSA was equal to mismanagement, KEMSA was equal to bad things. I think we are working very hard to restore that image, and we are glad that out there, organizations that are interested in tracking performance of public entities like ours are recognizing some of the things that we are doing, including the governance, the changes that we are making, the positive impact that we are making in the region and in the country is being recognized. We will continue on the path of making sure that we make KEMSA even better, have high order fill rates, have reduce our turnaround time, be responsive to the patient's needs, and most important thing, be devoid of scandals.
Absolutely. We are coming up to almost 6 weeks of the doctor's strike. What are your thoughts on this?
First, I think I should give my own personal experience in this. I was among the pioneer officials of the Kenya Medical Practicing and Dentist Union. I was, I think even to date, whenever media houses are bringing visuals, photos of, I see myself in photos of leading strikes and stuff.
Yeah.
Then being in the county government as a CEC, I have, and chair of CECs for 6 years. We have, in the last 10, 12 years, experienced more than 12 strikes or so. That is the national strikes, without mentioning the strikes that are county specific, which are numerous and countless. In this period, I think I have been on the negotiating table from 2013, the strike of November 2013, to the last strike that we had in 2021 during the COVID period. I was in the government negotiating side. And the worst that we saw was the strike of 2017 for doctors which went for 100 days, and for nurses went for 154 days. So I think it's now about 40 days or thereabout.
Indeed.
For this doctor strike. I feel there has been a positive progress in terms of discussions or negotiations, because in a strike, most of the time it is unions exist to agitate for welfare of its members. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, government can only operate within what is available in terms of what the economy can support and what is practical and within the framework of the law. I think, and I'm very confident, that the negotiations that have been happening from Thursday will bear fruit, because, like I said, I am in the government side.
And I wanted to ask, because you're wearing two hats at the same time, but should we actually stick to the CBA?
You see, there are considerations that have been made. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to tell you I'll give you 100 shillings when I actually have 20 in the pocket. So these are the harsh realities that even as unions negotiate,
yeah,
and government comes in position, mm-hmm, is we have to get to a middle ground. And the middle ground is to say, how can we structure an agreement that is practical? It's one thing to sign documents in the table, mm-hmm, and the strike is called off and we are unable to implement, mm-hmm, which is what is happening.
Exactly.
In 2017, we had exactly the same problem.
Yeah.
And I remember before this CBA was signed,
mm-hmm,
I remember having a meeting with the unions at the Council of Governors and I was saying exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have this thing signed, but another to have it implemented. And that's exactly what has happened. We signed at that time. We are unable to implement because practically the economy cannot be able to handle that. So it's a question of how do we strike a balance? How do we structure even this, what we require over a period that the economy can be able to absorb it? If we, like, for example, have an agreement that says, this is what we want to be paid in arrears today, can it be structured and be paid in 4 years? That probably is in the middle ground.
Mm.
I am not speaking on behalf of the unions, neither on government, but I believe in there will be a solution. And I'm very confident because we are in touch with both parties and we are able to listen to the conversation. There will be a solution sooner than you think.
Dr. Andrew Bulwa, thank you for your diplomacy and your wisdom in these questions. And thank you for your valued time to come and talk to us.
Thank you very much.
It. And as you're approaching your anniversary, we do wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome. That was none other than Dr. Andrew Mulwa, Kenya Medical Supplies Authority CEO. We go into the top of the hour. We find out exactly what is happening in the world. Come back with more excitement right here on Captain the Morning.